HPPodCraft.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the HP Lovecraft Literary Podcast bonus content show for October, the spookiest time of the year. I'm Chad Pfeiffer.
And I'm Chris Lackey.
We are here exclusively on Patreon.
You may remember that for past bonus content, we've done a show called Strategy. And we're back to do it again, except this time it's a Halloween-themed edition.
That's right. Much like me at this time of the year, we're taking something kind of old and putting it in a hastily assembled costume. Hopefully our listeners remember the rules. Chris and I will pose different hypothetical scenarios to each other and then talk through the strategies we would each use to deal with said scenarios. It's really as simple as that.
And we encourage folks at home to play along with us on our Patreon comments section. We've just come up with some different questions. Neither of us have really thought these things through or talked them over, which should become apparent immediately.
Exactly. But before we get rolling, I'd like to thank our sponsor, ladies and gentlemen, the devil. You know, there are plenty of madmen and villains doing the heavy lifting for the devil, murders and reality TV and whatnot, but we can all do our part in small ways every day. Whether it's kissing a loved one on the mouth after drinking a glass of milk, or asking somebody if you can ask them a question before asking them a question that you would have asked anyway, increasing general annoyance can be just as evil as punching a senior citizen. Which leads me to my first question. This is a sponsored question by the devil. You've been tasked by the devil to increase the general annoyance in your family and community. And if you don't impress the devil, you're looking at some pretty serious consequences. You can guess at what those might be. Okay. So we're not looking for criminal activity, just things you can do to make people, you know, kind of upset as they go through their days. What are some small things you can do to make life worse for folks?
Clip my fingernails, toenails, all over the place.
All of, like, in public?
In public, on furniture.
Yeah.
Toenails, fingernails, those are the worst if you find them, like, because they can jab you. And then once you go like, oh, yuck, I've been jabbed by somebody's freaking dirty fingernail.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
You know, I was getting mad. I was at the movies not long ago and some people just took their shoes off in the aisle with me. It made me furious. Why are you doing that? Would that be bad everywhere in the world? I don't know. But why do people feel the need to be barefoot out in public?
I don't. I think that shoes are a little confining to some people and they just want to be free.
But in an airplane or at the movies, why are you doing
that? An airplane makes a little, I would never do it, but it makes a little bit more sense to me than a movie theater because people spill crap on the floor all the time. Why would you touch your bare feet to that? That's terrible.
Why does it make me so mad that people would, first of all, not everybody takes care of their feet, you know? So if it's somebody who's used to wearing open-toed shoes and they've got some good pedicure action down there, not as big of a deal. But if it's dudes, come on. Those toenails look like they're trying to escape their body. You know, it's like, it's bad news. But also, I think it contributes to that feeling of like, hey, I'm in my own living room kind of thing. Because you're not. You were in a public space. We have to have some agreed upon things going on here. Because this is a person who's probably going to talk on their cell phone or talk to their, you know, talk during the movie. Yeah. All great stuff. Thanks again to the devil for the support.
And thank you, Satan.
Let's have some real scenarios here.
All right, here we go. Chad, you're 10 years old. You're trick-or-treating. You go to a house and there's just a bowl with a bunch of regular Snickers bars. Not fun size, full-on regular Snicker bars.
Oh, wow.
But there's just a sign. Nobody answers the door. There's a bowl of these Snicker bars and it says, just take one, please. How many do you take? 10-year-old Chad Pfeiffer.
I would be impressed that they got the full-size Snickers. So I think I would just take one.
I was thinking the same thing. Now, would it change if it was fun size?
If it was fun size, I would take more than one. I would be like, stingy.
Yeah.
Nobody's watching me. I would take three of them, which is equal to a full-size Snicker bar, maybe.
There you go.
But you know what I might do is take one, go hit some other houses, come back. Because I don't want to take them away from everybody else. I think this is Halloween. Let's all enjoy these full-size Snicker bars. But I might come back around and grab another one if I saw that the supply wasn't totally diminished. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's kind of when you get real greedy for candy, I think that's when you know that it's time to stop trick-or-treating. Because I remember when I was like, you know, when you're getting a little old for it, but, you know, there's a couple of years where maybe you still go out with your friends and do it. One thing that we would do is we'd hit a house, then go back into the street and everybody would swap costumes because we had simple costumes and we'd go hit the house again and get double candy just to see if they would notice too, which rarely they did.
Yeah.
You're just robbing somebody at that point. So, you know, you probably shouldn't be doing the trick-or-treating anymore when that's your strategy. I think I realized that at the time too. I'm like, we're just really running a racket on this neighborhood right now. to get more candy. Nobody's really having fun the way you're supposed to. You know?
No, you're right. You're right. I don't think I would have taken, if they're full size, I definitely would only take one.
Yeah, even
if they were fun size, maybe two. I was always afraid of getting in trouble. I was a very scaredy cat kind of kid. I always did try to do the right thing. Retribution was always a fear. So taking two would be a little about as naughty as I think I would be able to get.
You're 11 years old. You're going out to a bunch of haunted houses with your friends for the first time. The first one is so scary that you fake a stomachache so you can go home. But everybody knows what you're up to that you're with. And on top of that, your ride stops at McDonald's on the way to drop you off. And you get visibly scared by the Halloween decorations on the restaurant playground. Your friends notice this. They make fun of you mercilessly. And you don't go out with them for the rest of the night because you get dropped off. And this leads to some feelings of inadequacy that last well into your 40s. Oh. Now, how do you deal with that?
Oh, okay. So I'm my age now, and this is something that's happened in my past.
Yeah.
How do I deal with that? I guess I just move on, forget about it.
Yeah, easy for you to say, buddy. Easy for you to say.
Well, what would you do, Chad?
I don't want to talk about it. Let's go on to the next question.
If you had to be stuck in a horror story or movie, which one would it be?
Oh. You know, we talked about this a little bit when we were doing the CM Eddie stuff and you're saying, you know, this would be better than the Lovecraft universe because it's pretty lame. You know, there's just a ghost of a werewolf and like one serial killer. Lost Boys would actually be an awesome movie to be in. You know, I like the carnival atmosphere. That guy's out playing sax. You could actually go see him.
Yeah, that's true.
If I could be in a horror story that is also a movie, I think it would be Frankenstein, because that would mean that a physician had brought somebody back to life and the implications for medical science are tremendous. And I'd like to live in a world where somebody could reanimate somebody, because that means that maybe we could preserve longevity, we could cure some diseases.
Right.
It's just really one monster that I'd have to worry about. Yeah. He's not even that bad of a guy. So I think it's Frankenstein for me. Yeah.
Would you be able to change things? Let's say it is going to be Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. Would you be able to show up in the story, say, right when the monster is created, or do you have to show up at the end of the story?
Your choice.
Oh, okay.
What does that change about your answer?
Jeez, because if it's Frankenstein, I would go find the monster and befriend him.
Aw.
Because that was his whole problem. People treated him like dirt. That's true. I would be like, dude, I'll be your bud. Let's hang out.
Misery made him a fiend.
Exactly.
Lackey made him a friend. Here's a follow-up that's a little on the nerdier tip, but I know that people always ask this. If you could exist in the Star Wars universe or the Star Trek universe?
Oh, Star Trek.
I see, it'd be Star Wars for me.
Why?
I just like it more. I know the likelihood of me living in peace and having a good life and all these kinds of things would be much more in the Star Trek universe.
Oh, yeah.
Because Star Wars is a galaxy at war where, you know, the Empire is running around doing terrible things to people and blowing up planets and all that kind of stuff. But think about it that, you know, if you try hard enough, you might be able to levitate something with your mind in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, might. Might.
Yeah.
As in, like, that's probably like one in a million chance that you're going to be a Jedi. Probably even less than one in a million that you've got Force powers.
Well, you know, these new movies, they're kind of democratizing the Force a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. But that's a huge gamble. Let's say it's one in a thousand. You still like those odds? I don't. That's terrible.
Well, there's also the hairstyles are kind of better in Star Wars. So. I think that's why I would go.
Star Trek is a utopian society where nobody is hungry. You can pursue whatever interest you have in life. And that's it. You just do whatever you want to do because you're interested in it. That's awesome.
Yeah, but every time I watch Star Trek, there's a problem.
But that's because those guys are in Starfleet out exploring space. If you're just hanging out on Earth somewhere, some nice Earth colony or a space station, forget about it. There's no problems.
Well, we'll have to agree to disagree on that one.
So, Chad, you're at an office party. And you are wearing a costume. It's one that you spent some time on, but not too much time. And as you walk in, you notice that your boss has almost the exact same costume, but his is just way more low rent than yours. Mm-hmm. Like yours kind of will show him up. Now, you know, he's a bit of a sensitive guy, kind of about these types of things.
Yeah.
And you do just happen to have a Dracula cape in your car, so you can just put on some regular clothes and a Dracula cape and show up to this party. What would you do?
I just happen to have a Dracula cape in my car.
Come on.
As an extra for Halloween, or am I carrying that around all the time? It's like, those are my emergency supplies. I've got a flashlight, some water, and then a Dracula cape.
I mean, is this Chad Pfeiffer I'm talking to right here?
That's true. I would go get the Dracula cape. Yeah, I wouldn't want to embarrass the boss. To be honest, I'm not a big fan of wearing costumes to the office anyway.
Oh.
I never was. I don't know why. I feel like if they have a Halloween party that's after work that you can opt into or out of, and it's just a costume party, you're not working.
Yeah.
That's cool. You go, hey, the office is going to celebrate Halloween. But if it's, you know, you're coming in at 9 a.m. and you're going to be there till 6 p.m. and you're wearing a costume all day and interacting with each other, it stops being fun after a bit. Then you're just wearing a I do like the weirdness of it, you know, that there's a clown over there working and a vampire and, you know. But at the same time, there's something that feels just like a slightly demeaning about it. I don't know what it is. Let me ask you, if you were in an office party, first of all, would you wear the Dracula cape or would you stick with
it? Yeah, I would, of course, wear that. I don't want to make anybody feel bad.
I've seen that happen before. I was working in an office. One guy who was, our head tech guy came in a really lame Joker outfit. And then there was somebody that was just a temp that had an awesome Joker outfit. And you could tell the tech guy was like, oh man, like he had kind of the makeup, like he'd gotten a Paz makeup set to do it or something, whereas other guy was total Heath Ledger, even with the like cracks in the makeup and the hair and the everything.
Yeah,
like great.
Yeah, he had like fake scarring on his face,
exactly,
and stuff,
all that
and,
stuff, yeah, so there was some tension. So you're at the store, you're checking out all the costumes, it's Halloween time, there's a big rack of them. Mm-hmm. And you find a set of Chris Lackey costumes. I mean, there's a few of them on the rack. And it's the old kind of 70s, you know, it's plastic, like a tunic you put over yourself. It's got the plastic mask with the rubber band, little slit in the mouth. You know it's definitely you because on the plastic tunic it says Chris Lackey very clearly on it, you know, the way they used to do that.
It's got my round glasses and the whole thing. It's obviously me. Okay.
How do you figure out, I mean, how did this happen? What do you do about it?
I guess I would just look on the box, find the manufacturer. Call them and go, what's up with this? Why did you make who knows me that they would make a costume of me? And then I'm curious how they were able to sell it. And then also, do I have any rights to this? Should I be making a little bank off this kind of thing?
The scenario is funnier to me if you can get no information and you just have to go for it. It was only that one year. You don't know why it happened. And you have to go the rest of your life wondering.
Yeah, there's no address for the... the costume-o company.
That would be kind of horrifying.
That would be pretty freaky. Yeah, there's no address. You try and look up costume-o.
Yeah.
I guess you go to the store and go, like, where did you get these? And then you get the bureaucratic runaround. Yeah, like, oh, I don't know. Yeah. It came in this, and corporate did that. And then they're like, oh, no, we have a supplier, and he sends this thing. You go to the supplier, and the supplier goes, oh, no, we just got a shipment in from this costume-o company. And
I mean, I would just assume it's an elaborate prank from somebody I knew.
Right.
But it would be pretty freaky.
That is one hell of a prank. It's Halloween night. Mm-hmm. You're out and about. You're in a costume. So you've got a mask on and maybe a Batman. Let's say you're in a Batman costume.
Sure.
You see pants. 3 9- to 10-year-old kids dressed up in costumes as well in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
And they are just beating the crap out of somebody's car.
Oh, no.
You know, with sticks and pipes and things. Like, they're just wrecking it to all get out.
Yeah.
You don't know whose car it is. You don't know these kids. But you decide, whoa, they should not be doing this. So you say, hey, stop wrecking that car. And then the kids stop for a few seconds and they look at you. And then one of the kids says, suck my nuts. And then it goes back to beating the car. Uh-huh. And all the kids do, they just ignore you.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I would beat the out of those kids. Every single one of them just wrecked their lives. No, man, I don't know. That's a tough one. I would want to do that, actually, but you know, you can't beat up kids. I'd try a two-phase cop strategy. First, I'd go, hey, guys, I'm a police officer. And see if that worked. If they tell me to suck nuts.
If that doesn't work, then what was your next
one? I'd hang out and I'd call the police. And unless they started coming after me, then I'd get out of there.
Right.
I'm scared of kids, to tell you the
truth. Yeah, that's something... Maybe as a parent too, kids that just have no respect for authority, like really gets my goat. I just can't stand it.
Sure.
There was something really cathartic about that that bad Santa where he beats up those kids.
Of course.
Or it's like, oh, because you can't do any, because it's a kid. You can't do anything to a kid, and a kid's just going to be a complete jerk to you. Then he's a complete jerk to you, and you feel so powerless. And you're like, man. This kid's being a jerk to me, and I can't do a thing about it.
Even when you're a little kid, though, it's and other kids are being that way. You know, if you're trying to follow the rules and be a nice kid, and then there's other kids who just don't care.
Yeah.
When I was in fourth grade, there was like a gang of third graders that would beat me up on the way home from school all the time. Yeah, it's sad, but what's interesting about it is, I mean, there were like a few guys, like three or four dudes that would follow me home and mess with me. So the fact that they were in third grade shouldn't have mattered at all. It's just strength of numbers. Also, in your head, when you're in grade school, the difference between third and fourth grade is vast.
Yeah, it is.
But the truth is, I was probably the same age as these kids because I was kind of young for my grade. So this should have been a no-brainer, like report these kids for beating on me. But that was so humiliating that they were in third grade and I was in fourth grade that it was a secret. I never told anybody that was going on. It was totally like, oh, I fell down the stairs time.
Oh, you know? Poor little Pfeiffer.
Well, they got tired of it after a while, so, you know.
Sure.
Hey, let me ask you this. You take your kids out trick-or-treating, and one of the neighbors gives them little baggies that you assume are candy. Was that candy corn or something like that? Or Werther's or something. And so later, when they're opening up their candy, they unwrap these, and the bags are full of teeth, human teeth.
Oh, my God.
You're not exactly sure which neighbor gave it to them, but you know it's somebody in your neighborhood. What do you do?
Oh, my God. Because that's pretty messed up. But then again, it doesn't necessarily mean anybody died. It's not like they killed somebody and put their teeth in. They could just be, are they like children's teeth? Like that they, are they adult teeth?
It's a variety.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you got to call the cops on that one. That's you can't let that slide because that's crazy. You can't give kids human teeth. That's too dark. That is some dark stuff. Even if it's like some prank, it's still, that's not appropriate. So I would definitely call the police on that one.
That's funny.
Actually, no, probably what I would do is I would break into all my neighbors' houses and then look to see if they had all their teeth. And if they didn't, then I would just beat the ever-living shit That's what I would do.
Right on.
So you're go to a haunted house in the Quad Cities. It's a pretty crappy standard fare. It's a bunch of like teenagers and cardboard, and it's not really that amazing.
Yeah.
Except when you go into this one room, there seems to be an actual dead body, and it smells terrible. It looks totally real. And then when you leave the haunted house, you decide, I have to go to the people that work here and say, hey, I think there's actually a dead person in one of the rooms. Mm-hmm. And then the guy working there says, well, I'm glad you fell for our illusion. And you're like, no, I'm serious. Yeah. It was really a dead guy. And they're like, thank you. What do you do?
I would obviously consider calling the police, but then what if they show up and they're mad because I've just called the police. I'm like, there's a, you know, well, maybe they'll laugh at me. I was just in a house and somebody seemed to be dead, you know, isn't it?
Yeah,
there's a werewolf in there too, so you might want to check that out. I mean, I'd feel like an idiot. And also, well, here's the thing. I'm in the Quad Cities, right?
Yeah.
Means I'm just visiting and I'm going to be out of there pretty soon anyway. So I just let it go. That's their problem.
I have to say, I think I might honestly let it go because I think if I tried to call the cops, they would just laugh at me.
I'll tell you what I would do. I'd go like, well, it doesn't scare me none. Then I'd go to McDonald's. I'd get something to eat. I'd go out on the playground and I'd sit there and eat it and I wouldn't be scared of anything. And I would call my friends and tell them, I'm here at the playground. It's not scary.
Then there was an urban myth about somebody that was killing people in a haunted house.
Of course there's an urban myth about that.
Do you remember that one? There's a variety. There was somebody that was really killing people with a chainsaw. And then I felt like I read an article that said it actually did happen, but then I couldn't find it later. So I'm pretty sure it's fake.
You know what I love is when if you flip through the horror section of any streaming site or whatever, you'll see about five or six bad B-movies that have the plot that you just said, you know,
because
a lot of people come up with this idea. But you can always tell when something doesn't have a story if the synopsis ends with a question. You can always tell if it's like a group of teenagers going to a haunted house for the night. But is it possible that things are real? You know, it tells you there's no story. It tells you they have no story. You know, they have like one premise and that, you know, there's a few of those out there. But yeah, I think I'd let it be. I'm glad we're in agreement. I'm glad we're agreeing about it. Well, how about this? You're having a Halloween party, and this mad scientist shows up to the party. Somebody you don't know that well, but you're hitting it off. And the scientist says, hey, I've got some work for you. If you're looking for work, I need somebody to test some inventions for me. This is a time when you're like, you're kind of hard up. So you're like, you know, I'm willing to check it out.
When you say he's a mad scientist, he's working on science that is revolutionary and crazy.
And by the way, it's a woman, Chris. How dare you say he?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I don't know. I'm probably
not totally sexist. Yeah, no, I should. Because I picture pretty much Dr. Emmett Brown from Back to the Future. Every time I think mad scientist, I think of him. But yeah, okay, so this mad scientist woman.
Yeah, he's got some things for him he wants to test out. First is he's got a time machine he wants you to test.
Well, see, there you go.
It goes in 100-year increments one way or the other. So you can go 100 years into the past, or you can go 100 years into the future for this test.
Ooh,
up to you. Which one of those would you do?
Oh, the past for sure. Because the future, you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, there could be like a post-apocalyptic wasteland and irradiated and crazy. But at least you know what you're getting into by going into the past.
Agreed. Yeah. I think I would want, also, you spend your whole life learning about history. It'd be interesting to say, is this like or unlike what I think it is? What does it really smell like here? What are all the intangibles you can't get from a history book?
Mm-hmm.
Versus the future, I just don't want to know, because life's more exciting not knowing what's going to happen. You know?
Like,
if you get that point of view on it, then you might just be like, ah, geez, what's the point of any of this? You know, the robot apocalypse is on its way.
Oh, yeah, I don't want that. All right. What's his next one?
He's got another machine that's kind of a Matrix-style machine. You can plug you in. You can learn any skill.
Oh.
Like expert skill without even having to try. Just one, though. What is the skill you would learn?
Wow. It would be something that would be really hard. Something like neuroscience or, you know, like particle physics or something because if you don't have to put in the work to learn it.
Right. But then you'd suddenly be top of your field.
Yeah, that would be it. I would be something like that. I think like neuroscience, or maybe I do a little research to figure out what best medical expertise is in demand you need. Because, I mean, that's saving people's lives, and that would be pretty cool as a job as well.
It didn't even occur to me. I was like, I'd love to know how to play the piano really well. I just want to be that guy that sits down and knocks out a couple of, you know.
But I've always had a fantasy about being like a physicist, like a Stephen Hawking person. Like, you're pushing the boundaries of physics and understanding how the universe works.
No, I love that.
Like,
I mean, that's you know, I immediately thought about, well, that stupid thing, but also that's narcissistic. Or I thought, well, maybe I should learn something that would be practical, say, in some kind of disaster scenario. Society falls apart. What are the most important things to know? Is it mechanical repair? Is it, you know, simple scientific things that would make you indispensable in a Walking Dead kind of scenario? I don't know.
Sure. Yeah, like wilderness survival and like how to make soap, basic medical techniques. Those things would be really, really important. So, Pfeiffer, you could remake any horror film. Mm. What would it be, and what would you do?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't remake a movie that's already good. Like, I understand why people do that, because they're cashing in on it. So they'll remake a Texas Chainsaw or Halloween. It's been remade so many times. But I would think I would remake like Plan 9 from Outer Space. I was thinking the same thing. And I would say, how can I take these dumb ideas and make it really cool? You know, how could I execute on something that just didn't go well? So, I would actually do it. I would do a sequel to it called Plan X, and that would be my movie. Let me hit you with this. You happen to be in Providence for Halloween season. Very lucky. And you're going to hang with Matt Barisi.
Oh, yes.
Who lives there. And you're just going to catch a movie or go out to a bar or something. But when you get to his house, he's petrified. Clearly, he's peed his pants.
Oh, geez.
He's as white as a sheet. And he says, there is a ghost in my house. I'm convinced of it.
Oh, my God.
How do you comfort him?
What do you mean, how do I comfort him? Like, do I hold him? Do I stroke his hair? What do you mean? Like,
yeah, tell me about that stuff.
Well, what I would normally do with any friend that would be having a problem is listen and offer assistance in any way that they need me to help them.
Okay.
But
quick follow up. Would you hold him? Would you stroke his hair?
If that's what he needed. Yeah, I'd do it.
All right. You're doing that for a while. He's calming down. Get a change of pants in there. Things are going well. He's starting to seem like maybe he'll go out. You run upstairs to, you know, go to the bathroom, and while you're
he'll go out? Like, I'm trying to put him to sleep.
Oh, you were trying to put him to sleep? Well, yeah, sure. He'll
yeah,
lay
is that
down
what you were saying? I wasn't saying that, but the way that you just said that made it sound like he finally goes to sleep like a baby. Like, you know, I can scoot out from underneath Matt Barisi.
Oh, yeah, you can scoot out and leave, but here's what happens.
Okay.
Whatever plan it is, you've calmed him down, except you run into the ghost yourself.
Oh, geez. Oh, so it's real.
It turns out to be real.
Oh, my God.
And the ghost says, hey, you've got a choice. The ghost is playing this game now. He goes, you have to attack Matt, or I'm going to haunt him and his family for the rest of his life.
Aww.
If you attack him, you know, I'll split tonight. What do you do?
Oh, geez. That's weird. And why would I trust this goat? Ghost.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because if this ghost is like giving me this ultimatum, he sounds like a real bad guy. And there's no reason why he'd be honest about it. So I would be like, no, screw you.
So your choice is mistrust.
Mistrust is no way. I wouldn't believe that ghost.
You'd be like, no way, ghost. All right. Fair enough. Yeah, I think my first instinct, of course, I'm going to go beat the out of that guy. But you know what?
I think Parisi?
Yeah. I mean, you know, just that was just my blank reaction. I don't think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, same with those kids. I don't know. I'm just violent. I don't know. But no. I think I would hedge my bets and I would just verbally assault him. Because he said attack. He didn't say it had to be physical.
Oh.
So I'd be like, I can't believe you're afraid of that ghost, you wiener.
Oh. See, that's even worse.
Yeah, you're right. What if I opened up the paper, like, you know, 20 years later after we weren't friends anymore and he was like, man, you know, I've been haunted by a ghost for 20 years. It's made my life terrible. But I just can't get over when I was called a wiener by my friend. Both of these things together. It is in the paper for some reason. I don't know why this is in the paper, but it's reported on.
He's a respected member of the Providence community.
That's true. That's true.
Director of the Athenaeum there. So, yeah, of course it's in the paper. So, Chad.
Yes.
You get zapped by this ray that is fatal. You're going to die.
Aww,
okay?
I wish that wasn't happening.
However, there are these three different pills that can help you live on in some capacity. Mm-hmm. One pill will make you a werewolf. One will make you a vampire, and the other a ghost, which you choose.
Well, so do I know details about ghost society or vampire society or what the condition actually does to you, or is it just that surface option for me?
It's the surface option. You don't even know if there is a society of these things.
Okay,
you might
be the
only ghost, the only werewolf, or the only vampire in the world, and you don't know exactly what kind of version you're going to be.
Werewolf. I'd go for werewolf. At least you would have a chance at something of a normal life. Because it's a chronic condition you can manage and still have access to a full human life. Whereas as a vampire, you can only live at night. You're extremely vulnerable to all sorts of things. And a ghost could be pretty lonely. I mean, you know, invisible, can't interact with folks.
Well, let's modify that slightly then.
Okay.
As a ghost, you could do all the cool ghost things. You could manifest and people could hear you. You can go through walls. You could possess people.
Ooh.
There's a lot of cool powers of being a ghost. Mm-hmm. Also immortal. Like you'll just be a ghost forever, which could be, if you want that one, that's an optional choice. Mm-hmm. With the werewolf, you're stuck being an uncontrolled beast during the three nights of the full moon a month. Mm-hmm. So there really is no upside to that. That just kind of sucks.
But you can lock yourself up or make some plans or enlist allies.
Yeah, but you got no powers. Being a werewolf isn't an advantage at all. There's nothing cool about it.
Well, you know, I could turn into a werewolf and maybe go confront those kids who were trashing that car. I see lots of upside to that. Well, let me ask you. Okay, so that's my choice. Did you?
Sure.
Which would you do?
Vampire.
Interesting.
Or ghost. Especially the ghost that I described, because that would be pretty awesome.
Yeah. If I could set the parameters of what the monster does, as you just did, then any of those would be fine because I would just make it awesome for myself.
Yeah, of course.
But I find that the werewolf, in the traditional sense, probably has fewer disadvantages than the other.
You're right. You're right, because you're basically still a person and just you lose 3 days out of the month.
Right.
That's it.
And so maybe you'll get lucky and figure out how to do it at will over time.
Yeah, maybe.
So let me ask you this. You meet this witch type. It's at the same party that you're at with the mad scientist. Very interesting group of people here. You're very skeptical of this witch's powers, making fun
of
him, Stephen. Yeah. He proves himself by doing a spell. You know, your whole family's at this party.
Okay, sure.
So he does a spell in which your wife switches bodies with your mother.
Okay.
And in order for them to switch back, you have to have sex with one of them.
Oh,
man, this is getting... I think we've hit the limit on this episode.
It's gotten to some really dark places.
Yeah. Ooh, that's truly kind of sorry.
That's
about
pretty
that
horrific.
One.
That's pretty horrific. Okay.
I think that's
well,
probably as far as we should go with this episode.
I think probably went a little too far,
honest. Well, hey, you know, we got to push the envelope on this. This is our third one. It's like any sequel. We got to have a bigger body count.
Exactly.
You know, and more thrills and chills.
And this is the kind of thing our patrons at this higher level are demanding.
This is what they're asking for.
This is what they want. They want us on the edge. And here we are.
Here we are.
On the edge, freaking ourselves out.
Yeah.
And probably our audience as well. I hope you're happy.
I want to wish everybody a really happy Halloween. Thanks so much for tuning in, folks. I'm Chad Pfeiffer.
I'm Chris Lackey, and you've been listening to the H.P. Lovecraft Literary Podcast. Bonus content
exclusively on Patreon.
hppodcraft.com.